Good morning. You guys may be seated. The Gulf War, 1990 to 91, 258. Spanish-American War, 1898, 2,446. War on Terror, 2001 to the present, 7,057. Mexican-American War, 1846 to 48, 13,283. War of 1812, 1812 to 1815, 20,000. American Revolutionary War, 1775 to 83, 25,000. Korean War, 1950 to 1953, 36,516. Vietnam War, 1965 to 1973, 58,209. World War I, 1917 to 1918, 116,516. World War II, 1939 to 1945, 405,399. In the American Civil War, 1861 to 1865, 620,000. And so those numbers I just read are those that died in those wars, which equal right around 1.1 million Americans that have fought and died for our country so that we can celebrate today on this Independence Day. And so today is our nation's birthday. We're 245 years, and we continue to fight for our freedoms to this day in 2021. And we're thankful for all those that have and continue to fight for our freedoms. And so back on July 4th, 1776, when they declared independence from England, otherwise we'd be in the Church of England right now, it said this at the beginning of the Declaration of Independence: "The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And it goes on from there. So it is very fitting that today is July 4th, and we are starting our Sermon in the Bag series. So if you weren't here last week when Pastor Henry described this, what? Last week we opened up this bag, and in the bag, we have to do a sermon based on whatever's in the bag. So this is very exciting. Last week, what was opened up is a Martin Luther bobblehead doll. Now, you will see, hopefully by the end, why this really ties in pretty well with Independence Day. And so this is a Martin Luther bobblehead doll. Why in the world is there a Martin Luther bobblehead doll? Well, 500 years, we just celebrated a 500-year anniversary of Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the church doors in Wittenberg in Germany. And so that was in 2017 when we celebrated the 500th anniversary of that. And the reason Luther did that is at the time, the church, there was only one church at the time, the Catholic Church. The church was requiring indulgences, which the poor people in Germany and areas, other areas, were buying because they thought that that was earning their way into heaven and that they would get grandpa or grandma out of purgatory quicker. So all of these 95 theses had to do with those indulgences that were being required of the people. And so over the years, over the centuries, Martin Luther, you know, has sort of become a this huge rebel. And this particular event was seen as something hugely rebel. We've made it into this big thing. When in reality, the church doors were like the bulletin board of the community where everybody put stuff up. So that wasn't that big of a deal, but he happened to make copies of it because remember, Pastor Henry mentioned this in our new member class. Gutenberg was around the same time, the printing press, which really helped Luther's stuff get out. He sent it to some important people that didn't appreciate Luther's 95 theses. And so Henry and I were talking about that this week, this Martin Luther bobblehead doll, and we're thinking, you know, maybe assuming that everybody knows who he is, maybe you don't know who Martin Luther was. So just a quick life history on him. First of all, important thing to remember about him, he was not trying to start a church. He, in fact, he would probably be very mad at us that we have a church named after him. He would not like that. He was not trying to start a church. He was just trying to get the Catholic Church to get their focus back on Scripture. And so Luther was born in 1483, died in 1546. I mentioned the 95 Theses. He was a monk, which is why he's dressed like this in this bobblehead. And a lot of the pictures always have him looking like a monk. And the reason Luther became a monk was because at that time, people were told that in order to get right with God, you needed to live a monk lifestyle, which is living isolated in a monastery with a bunch of other men, and the women were the nuns, and do all kinds of things day in, day out, and then you would get right with God. Well, over time, Luther was finding, well, that isn't working. He continued to beat himself up. Literally, he would whip himself because he was struggling over his sin. And how could a loving God demand so much of us? I can't possibly get right with God. I'm constantly sinning. I'm being tormented. He was not finding the answers he was looking for in this kind of a lifestyle. He became depressed that he couldn't earn his forgiveness. He even got to the point where he resented God. He felt trapped and doomed and didn't feel free at all. He was depending on his own works and not God. So a question for you this morning. Have you ever felt that way, that you just can't get past a past sin, that past sin, that past mistake, past regret? It keeps coming up. Maybe you're even tormented by it. Something you've committed in the past, constantly bothering you. Well, that's exactly what Luther was experiencing at that time. And then a friend took him under his wing and basically, in a nutshell, told him he needs to fix his eyes on Jesus and not himself. And it's at that time that Luther became a professor at the college there in Wittenberg, and he really started studying Scripture. You see, at that time, the Bible was written in Latin, and only the smart people knew how to read it, because not everybody spoke Latin. You know, all these people spoke German, so nobody could read the Bible for themselves. They were just listening to whatever the church was telling them. And they weren't hearing the gospel. And so, like I said, he really started to dig into Scripture, and he realized something, that his salvation and our salvation is all completely dependent on what Jesus did for us. And when Luther found this out, you could say that it was sort of an Independence Day for him. He realized beating himself up over his sins which is what we do too, wasn't doing any good. Trying to live a perfect life wasn't doing any good. But the fact that our loving God loved us enough to send his son Jesus truly became independent, in dependence on God. And so, to wrap everything up into five statements, this is basically what the Reformation and what Luther was all about. It's the five solas, which are up on the screen. There is, this is Latin, sola means alone. So you got grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, to God be the glory alone. And that's what it was all about. And like I said, when he realized that, he had to get that gospel message out. And it truly was like an Independence Day. And so, one of the books that really transformed Luther, where the Holy Spirit really worked through the Word and enlightened Luther, was the book of Romans, which also was one of his favorite books. In fact, he said every Christian should memorize the book of Romans. How are you doing with that, by the way? I'm not doing so swell. But anyway, I wanted to read to you from Romans chapter 3, a big passage for all of us. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. There's four phrases in particular that I want you to point out. If you have your Bible, you can highlight these or underline them. Four phrases that jump out to me from this passage here. The first one, the law and the prophets bear witness to it. To what? Well, they bear witness to what Jesus did. And listen to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when he is talking to the people. Listen to what Jesus said about the law and the prophets. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And then after Jesus died and rose again, that first Easter, when he started appearing to people, he appeared to two guys who were walking to Emmaus. We call it the road to Emmaus. And just appeared to them and started talking to them. And listen to what it says, what Luke says there. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see, everything in the law and the prophets was about Jesus. And this goes back to the Bible being one narrative of events. It's all connected by that crimson thread, Jesus. Jesus fulfilled scripture on our behalf. So that's the first phrase. The second phrase is there is no distinction. You know what? That means we are all in this together. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what party affiliation you have. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're an American or a Mexican or a German, or we are all in this together. There is no distinction between any of us. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if it was up to us and trying to live perfectly, we'd be in big trouble. There is no distinction. The next one, propitiation, a big word here, by his blood. And this is one of those things that gets me excited here. So propitiation basically is paying the price, and in God's eyes, it's been taken care of. The salvation has been taken care of. So this connects us back to the Old Testament again showing us that everything is in here for a reason. Everything is connected and tied together. So back in Exodus, when God told Moses and the Israelites to build a tabernacle, he also had them build the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? But anyway, so this Ark of the Covenant had this gold cover, and on the top were two cherubim angels with their wings together like this, connecting in the middle. And this spot right here in the middle of the top of that ark was called, it's the same word used for the mercy seat. And this is the spot where God would come and dwell with his people, where he would come and be present. This Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Holy of the Holies, in the tabernacle, and then later in the temple. Only the high priest could go in there. And so once a year, on the Day of Atonement, which is the day that God told them you have to do certain things to atone for your sins, they had to kill a specific animal. The priest would take the blood into this Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood on this mercy seat and cover it. You see, what was in the Ark of the Covenant, were one of the things that was in there were the Ten Commandments. Do you think this is an accident that this blood of this animal is covering this, which includes the Ten Commandments? This is cool stuff. This is exactly what Jesus did for us. Same exact thing. You see, back then, to atone for their sins, it required a life and it required blood. And because God has mercy on us, he didn't require a human to be sacrificed. They only had to sacrifice an animal. But that's what Jesus did for us. He sacrificed himself. And his blood that he shed on that cross covers up all of our sins. Because we can't keep those Ten Commandments. And so the last one that was up there, or the first one that I skipped, the righteousness of God. The very first one, it's right at the beginning. The righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. You see, we all have been declared righteous by God because of what Jesus did for us. And once again, just like Luther found out, everything in here is connected by that crimson thread, Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. And so today, on this Independence Day, I do wish you a happy Independence Day, but I also want to wish you a happy Independence Day, because we are truly dependent upon God for our salvation. And I started out, I read the first part of the Declaration of Independence, and I found this. This is a declaration of dependence I wanted to close with for today. And it goes like this: when in the course of human events it becomes necessary to remind all people that true and complete independence is possible only through dependence upon our gracious God, it is fitting and proper that we, in observing our nation's Declaration of Independence, do publicly proclaim and affirm our dependence as a church body and as individuals upon the continuing grace of God. We further declare that we hold these truths to be self-evident from the witness of the Holy Scripture, His Word, that all mankind by nature is sinful and under the condemnation of God, that all human beings under this condemnation of God are deprived of life, liberty, and happiness, that God in His grace and mercy sent His own Son to free us from the chains of sin, that our Heavenly Father offers to all free and full forgiveness, life, and salvation in Jesus Christ. That the Holy Spirit, through the word and sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, create, sustain, and nurture our faith in Jesus. That our trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness and life not only makes us his disciples, but also makes us free indeed. And that our hope for the future and for eternity rests alone in the work of the Holy Spirit. In this spirit of dependence upon God, we call upon each other to praise the Lord by attitudes, words, and deeds for the freedom he gives and upholds. We further call upon each other to rededicate ourselves to the goal that freedom in Christ shall continue to bless our lives until we receive the perfect freedom of eternal life in heaven. To the triune God upon whom we depend, be all praise and glory. Alleluia.